Father, grant that we may hear your word. Grant that your word might be alive in our minds. Grant that your word would bring love to our hearts, and that by your Spirit we might be strengthened to live and to serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In 1956, not long after the Second World War, the minister of my parents' church in Cardiff organized an exchange of young people with the Baptist Church in Hamburg. He faced a lot of criticism for befriending Germans, even those who would have been children at the time of the conflict. My brother went to Germany, and as a family, we entertained a delightful young youth leader from the Hamburg church. In spite of all the grumbling and some outright antagonism, we were all richer for this act of reconciliation and fellowship from two cities that had been bombed extensively during the Second World War. Our minister at the time was keen on helping to repair the divisions left by the war, and keener still to see the young people of both countries build new friendships and reconciled relationships. Now, Jesus, we know, is an example of a barrier breaker. No friend of nationalists, no friend of religious exclusivists. Luke tells us of the healing of a Samaritan with leprosy. And in John's account of the gospel, we see Jesus engaging socially with a Samaritan outcast woman and revealing to her that he was the promised Messiah. Jesus was also concerned about little people. Let the children come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Let those who are not valued by anybody at all be the ones to come and have me put my arms of love around them. We see that God's power and purpose transcends our human boundaries and is pleased to involve the little people, those with seemingly no importance. We're going to look at one such little person this morning, the unnamed slave girl, who is the channel of God's healing power, which heals the army commander of a hostile nation. There's a lovely little song in the musical Les Miserables, sung by Gavroche, a child caught up in the Paris Revolution of the 1830s. Let's listen to the opening verses. To like Les Miserables. That's my excuse. But it's about little people and the fact that little people can achieve a lot. And one such biblical character is the unnamed slave girl of the unnamed wife of Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram. The fact that they're unnamed underlies their lack of status, their lack of importance in the society of their day. This little girl plays a bit part in the Elisha saga, but is a significant agent of change in the midst of an international conflict. There's no sentimental story here, though, of a little girl and her master and mistress. We need to recognize the context. A young girl taken captive in a border raid, in a war between Israel and her neighbors. We're all aware, are we not, of the ways in which women and girls become abused victims and sexual slaves in such events as these. And it would have been no different in Elisha's time. This unnamed girl is such a victim. In her case, a forced removal from home into a life of servitude. Her young age probably protected her thus far from a sexual slavery that an older girl would probably experience. Into this war, in which Israel believes that she is God's chosen people, fighting against pagan neighbors, we are introduced to a little person set against the big people and the powers at play. Her forthrightness allows us to imagine that she is spirited and bold, and she has great courage. Faced with her master's illness, we find her faith in God and her belief in God's concern, which extends beyond any boundaries, beyond the nationalism of Israel. She counters the theological beliefs of her day, believing that God is concerned with both her well-being and the well-being of her captors. For her, God's interest and healing purpose extend beyond those national boundaries. Through the intervention of her mistress, she becomes the voice through whom God's voice is heard, and in giving heed to her voice, Naaman receives the healing that God offers through Elijah. She is a channel of reconciling peace and of peaceful relationships. Her insight comes alive for us when we in turn hear the whispered voice of God in the least significant of people. For Naaman, the story is full of twists and turns and a great deal of irony. He sends a letter to the king of Israel requesting healing. The king thinks that this is merely a ruse to have a reason for further hostilities. But Elisha hears of Naaman's request and tells the king to invite Naaman to come to Elijah for healing. Naaman arrives with his whole entourage, and Elisha doesn't even bother to meet him. Instead, he sends his servant with a message that Naaman must wash himself 7 times in the Jordan. Pretty much a muddy stream. Naaman is peeved, to say the least, by Elisha's failure to meet him face to face and his command to wash in a river that is inferior to the rivers back home in Damascus. But as he turns his back on Elisha's call, his servants point out that this is foolish. Why don't you do the simple thing that Elijah has asked you to do? Naaman does eventually comply and is immediately healed. Then Naaman and all his attendants go back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." Elisha refuses any gift. And we read that Naaman then says, "If you will not have a gift, then please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. For your servant will never again make a burnt offering or sacrifice to any god but to the Lord God of Israel." "Go in peace," Elijah said, healed and with peace. Shalom, God's well-being. In the New Testament, we read something very similar. The 10 lepers who Jesus encounters call out for his pity, and he says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." They are healed as they take Jesus' command on trust. And as healed lepers, the priest now will allow them back into the economic and social activities of their community, no longer excluded. But only one, a Samaritan, returned to give thanks to Jesus. And Jesus comments that all 10 were healed, but only the Samaritan comes back. And it's to the Samaritan that Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Not only healed, but now with shalom, wholeness, a restored relationship with God. There's a difference between being healed of your leprosy and having your relationship with God healed. Healing comes through trust and faith in the one who is able not only to cure physical ailments, but is able to bring God's peace, God's shalom, God's total well-being. Yet we also recognize something even more important. God uses anyone, Christian or not, who is open to his leading, whether they recognize it or not. And God uses little people, like Naaman's wife's slave. And we can think in our time of examples. We can think of Malala Yousafzai, Pakistani schoolgirl who defied the threats of the Taliban to campaign for the rights of education for girls. She survived being shot in the head by the Taliban and has become a global advocate of human rights, of women's rights, and the right to education. She has sought to emphasize the peaceful nature of Islam and the respect Islam has for education. And then there is Greta Thunberg. You've heard me talk about her before. For my birthday last month, my elder daughter, Elizabeth, who lives in Harold, gave me this book, Greta Thunberg. No one is too small to make a difference. A Swedish schoolgirl who has become a global leader of the environmental movement, dealing with issues to do with climate change, leading protests against global warming. In Sweden, she began a school strike outside the parliament every Friday to mobilize support for direct action on global warming. This national strike spread to other countries, and she has become a global ambassador for the environmental movement. On Friday, the 20th of September, over 4 million children and young people worldwide were on strike. As she traveled to address the UN Assembly in New York on the 23rd of September, she risked her own welfare by traveling in a solar-powered yacht, 15 days at sea rather than 5 hours in the air. And I know that the emissions that went into building the yacht would have been immense, but the point is symbolic of what she did. She's been given an Amnesty International's Ambassador of Conscience Award, as well as being nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Naaman's servant girl had faith, and her faith gave her compassion for her master's illness and courage to offer a healing solution. My parents' minister, sought to repair the divisions between Britain and Germany, between British and German young people in post-war Europe. Where is our faith taking us? And are we listening for God's whispered call?